And welcome to the first episode of the Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars: A Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I am your host, Ednar, and I'm joined today by my two semi-wonderful Ewok-hating co-hosts, Coleman and Darthridge. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
All right, well, since this is the first episode we're going to go over, I figured it's best if we go through a little bit of our background. Coleman, we'll start with you. How did you get started into this game? Who do you play in this game? Who do you hate in this game? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I think I started this game around November of 2015 when I was getting my first iPhone, and I was searching around for games. I was like, cool, Star Wars. And I was like, okay, let me try this, try that. Then this game started taking more and more of my time, and then eventually I just got hooked on it to where they came started rolling out of characters that I really liked, like Darth Vader was always the grind for achievements, and then they introduced Yoda, and then eventually mods and Palpatine, which also sprinkled my squad, which is majority Imperials.
Okay, now I know your team, and I'm super jealous of your team because you actually have a 7-star Thrawn, which is probably one of the rarest things in the game right now. Are you obsessed with him?
Primo, since we're in the same guild and chest, you can see my gamer tag and picture and all that, so yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, fantastic. Darthridge, give us a little background on you. What do you play? How'd you get into the game?
Of course. Well, being a Star Wars fan, I kind of got into the game as any other Star Wars junkie does. They look for anything Star Wars. And started playing, wasn't what I was looking for, never did turn-based, put it down for like 2 months, and then decided to get back in and had no clue what I was doing. So I stumbled through a lot. Found a guild, got in. I thought it was a big deal to like be part of a guild and do chromiums, and I don't have a clue. But I eventually found a guild when they came out with General Kenobi that would accept us and help us grow. So I jumped ship and joined Rebel Force then. A month later, brought Coleman along, and we brought the rest of the guild over, and been enjoying that ever since. So I'm a big fan of the Jedi. Once I got General Kenobi, it kind of made it a little easier. Run that behind Qui-Gon Zeta, of course, with Yoda, Ezra, and R2 with a number crunch. And I'm a big fan at the moment, but I'm also trying to work on some resistance teams and trying to build up better for this raid and new game mode, so.
Okay. Well, for me, I've been playing the game for about a year now. I've best friend, actually, who's also in the Rebel Force Alliance Guild, got me hooked on this game. And I have stuck to mainly the light side. I am a resistance player. Through thick and thin, I'm sticking with them. They're great in raids, but man, they're hit or miss in arenas. They can beat anybody, but anyone, even Ewoks, can beat them when they're on defense. So, but you love the murder bears.
I do not love the murder bears.
I've come to realize that Coleman hates Ewoks. So, you know, the title of this episode is going to be dedicated to him, as well as our Twitter page has the background of Ewoks just for you. Purely out of spite.
You know how much I appreciate that.
I know. But speaking of Ewoks, we'll get into the news for the past 2 weeks, because it's basically been all Ewoks all month with some other stuff thrown in there and hints at future things. So we'll go over just the non-Ewok stuff that they've announced in the past 2 weeks. They announced a bunch of new mod packs that were available. Did either one of you buy any of these special $999 crystal mod packs?
You know, I actually bought a couple offensive mod sets, because it's something I don't farm all too often. I was like, okay, yeah, I can use a couple more offensive mod sets. And, you know, it's nice seeing that they changed up the mod packs from last time to do one of the... You where you could get a few legendary now. That legendary, which in turn turned out to be a 36 crit damage triangle, also had a nice 150 boost in my offense.
Well, nice. Darth, did you buy any of them?
No, I didn't buy any. I've been saving up some of my crystals for some of the gear, and trying to keep all that moving along. Got a good set of arena mods. They're not from like Coleman's, but they do enough to help me take first every day, so it's good enough for now.
Okay.
Hey, that's all you need.
Yeah, speed is basically everything. I actually did the same thing as you, Coleman.
Speed is meta.
I bought two offensive mod packs because I actually can't farm offense mods because I refuse to grind First Order Stormtrooper. It's like...
It's a fun grind, though. No,
it's not. It's like there's two people in the game I refuse to grind. One is First Order Stormtrooper, and the other is Count Dooku. And I refuse to...
I understand the Count Dooku, but come on. The First Order Stormtrooper is an all-around really good tank.
Oh, he is super good. But only farming him on hard nodes is just... I'm doing that with Baze, and I want to throw my phone against the wall every time I use, 100 crystals and 120 energy, and I get no shards. I couldn't do that on a daily basis. But I bought two of the offensive mod packs, and I actually lucked out. I got my legendary on one of them was a 30 speed arrow. And then I got three other offensive mod sets, all with 10 plus speed.
Very nice.
So, like, I got, like, I'm like, I have a full offensive set that has speed on it. I'm content. So.
Yeah. A good use of crystals. I think everybody would do that if they knew that they would get something along those lines.
Oh yeah, I do not recommend buying these if you, because more than likely you are not going to get crap out of this. But I just happen to be lucky. I was the person who bought the Ahsoka pack with crystals and got over 20 shards. So, besides the mods, they also did a little of the shard shuffling. Gar Saxon and Imperial Super Commando are now both in Cantina nodes, 8E and 8D, which I believe are both 16 cost. Now, Coleman, I know you're farming them. How's the farm going for those?
So far, it's going pretty well. The Gar Saxon seems to be dropping. I'll say... about 10 to 12 per 20 energy. So I've almost got him 7 star, about 50 shards away. Imperial Super Commando, I think he's still at 3, gear 10 though. And I'm really glad they put the Gauntlet in there now too.
Yeah, the Gauntlet Starfighter is now in the fleet store and in the shard shop. So, I mean, I think that's the first time. Actually, no, the Squadron, the Phoenix Squad ships were in there.
Yes.
But, like, at least Gauntlet Starfighters, I think, is the first new ship they put into the fleet store, along with the Phoenix Squadron.
Yeah, and I spent all my Cantina currency, 100k of it, all put in that Gauntlet Starfighter.
Now, Darth, are you a big ship guy?
I'm trying to get back into it a little bit. I generally float. I do my one or two battles a day and stay in that, mid-20 range. I could probably go down and do the grind, but the payoff for that is 1 hour after arena, and it's tough to justify two straight hours of being attached to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this ship, and I am farming it every time that I see it pop up. I'm going after it, and as soon as I finish one of my other farms in Argentina, I'm going to be starting on Gar, the Super Commando.
Okay. Gar is one of those people I want to get, actually. And this is coming from a guy who does light side. I want Gar because I feel he could be one of the most annoying leaders in the game. Counter people in this game are second most annoying teams to dodge and evasion teams. And Gar Saxon is going to piss people off. So, and then additionally, Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum is now available in the Chromium packs. And standard shipments.
Now, I think the standard shipment was actually a typo, because no one has actually seen her show up in shipments. So, as of yet.
Okay. Alright, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to farm her until...
If they follow the cadence, they should drop in Chromium, and then in another only 5 weeks now, she should show up in an actual net.
Yeah, and then people will actually farm her and realize that she's a little underwhelming. You know.
Yeah, unfortunately. Without a Zeta, at least.
Yeah, and with so many dispels and whatnot in this game, it's almost impossible for her to get her full potential. Well, that's for a different time. We have a lot of things to go over. They also introduced... What is this, like 10, 12 new environments, like the maps. Have you guys had much time to look at these or played with most of them?
Yeah, these, I think they look great. They all are something that's been in the game before, and from what I heard on one of the other podcasts was they essentially didn't realize they weren't in the game. Then somebody brought it to their attention, and they wrote a ticket and got to take care of immediately. There's the stuff that we were supposed to have all along, but it's sort of a gift. It felt like a gift because we got all of this.
Yeah, which is baffling. Like, how do you not realize that all these maps are not in the game?
Well, it just shows how much they play their own game.
All right. We're going to hold off on the CG bashing a little bit, at least. Other than that, I can't think of many things other than the Ewoks and then the territory battles, which we'll talk about at the end, that they came out with in the past 2 weeks. Can you guys?
Now this Ewok rework, I know that a lot of people have been waiting for this. We have a few people in the guild, probably not too many names, that are really excited about it. I'm really excited about it.
Ewok scale.
Start murdering some of the bears.
Okay.
That's all in the way.
Yeah, so again, Coleman, we know about your hatred, but you have to admit, some of them do serve at least a little bit of a point in the game. Like, Ewok Elder is good in a Zader team in second phase of the Heroic AAT.
Believe it or not, I actually use Shaman.
You're being difficult. Okay. Some of these reworks, we're not going to go into every specific ability. We're basically probably going to go over the new characters, the Logray and the Paplu. We'll start with the Logray. He's the guy who, the support guy who basically can dispel, give turn meter, give advantage. They basically gave everyone all the buffs that they could ever want. Darth. Have you had a chance to look over all his abilities?
I have. The only one that really kind of stands out to me is Hypnotize, and I say that because I don't plan on running them, but there's definitely a lot of synergy in the team, and they got a lot of bashing already, but they look like they'll be fun to use. But if you get somebody on the other side with a buff immunity, I'm thinking simple TIE fighter pilot would keep this team done. But Hypnotize does look like it'd be a cool ability. And you're looking at another full team days, and it's only on a 3-turn cooldown, and it is inflicted for 2 turns and not evaded, and you dispel buffs and remove 100% turn meter from target. So that right there is like a maul ability on steroids.
Now, I mean, I think of Logray as, like, his abilities, he seems to mean like the one guy who could probably fit into some teams. And the only reason I say that is because he does have the tenacity up. He does have a dispel. He does give out days. All allies gain 20% turn meter. His Shaman's Insight is not that big if for non-Ewoks, but the rest of those abilities, I mean, you could do a quad cleanse team. Now, how annoying would that be?
Yeah, you could, I mean, he does, I don't see him doing a cleanse, I believe that's Poplo, but...
Oh, yeah, that's Poplo, but this would be more of a tenacity up, Right. He would. It wouldn't be a triple, quadruple cleanse. It'd be a triple cleanse, but then also have tenacity up.
Well, just one of the things that you run across. We don't have anybody else that does a full team and AoE days. So having that on the light side kind of balances out a little bit. We're seeing the balance of the force.
Exactly. Now Coleman, does low grade intrigue you at all, other than that you want to kill him?
He doesn't really interest me all that much. The only thing about him is how his hypnotize is gonna prop. Because if you're going against a triple cleanse team with say a Rex lead, if that daze applies after the effect of Rex leader, Rex already has almost someone on Rex's team that has almost full turn gear already.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
If daze applies before that leader ability procs, that means there's no turn meter given to anybody from those debuffs.
Ironically, they will be very good against Empire squads. Can't imagine why it's good against Empire.
True. I still think that they should have gone with an ability that they do 20% extra damage to all troopers. Or something like that. I mean, if they're following the movie, Ewoks destroy troopers. They should be able to destroy troopers in the game.
Yeah, I think that people like Coleman quit and throwing over cars. You'd be the one man out there just turning over vehicles.
And I think the thing that really holds low grade back is, honestly, he's just slow as crap. He's got a base 127 speed.
If you think that's slow, look at Paplu. He's at 108.
Oh, God, Paplu, the worst character I've seen introduced to this game in a long time. At least from my point of view. We'll go on to Paplu next. So Paplu, he's their tank who has assist and buff synergies, and he has his main attack that does less damage than a wet noodle could ever do. It's the weakest attack in the game, but he can taunt if he gets stealth put on him or something like that. Coleman, I'm going to get you to admit to this one of these days. Does Paplu look interesting to you at all?
What's that game called? Chemical Warfare? Galvanize and Dull Effect?
Yep, Galvanize, Dispel All Debuffs from Paplu and Target Other Ally. He does give speed down and gains taunt, and he can dispel.
I think he's interesting just because of his little dance he does whenever he actually calls that taunt in.
So the animations really get you on Paplu, not his abilities. Okay.
The Don't Hold Back unique is kind of interesting to me. Literally, dispel stealth and gain top for 2 turns. However, Paplu has 25% more speed whenever he does not have a taunt active, so he's just constantly going to try to taunt you.
Yeah, he really is, especially if you have him in a Tebow lead. He's going to get stealth basically almost every turn, which essentially means he'll have taunt every turn.
It should mean you don't need a lot of speed on him.
No, I don't think you really do. And, I mean, as with most tanks, you don't see many tanks with a lot of speed on them.
Until you get a third rate.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that Zeta gives him 25% speed whenever he does not have the taunt active. So that's the first time.
Oh, that's a Zeta?
Yeah, that's a Zeta. It's really interesting. That's the first time we've seen a mechanic like that game where they're giving them additional speed percentage boost based off of their buff.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if that Zeta would be worth it.
I mean, there's so many other jobs out there that I still have to acquire.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as tanks are concerned, he's great for the Ewoks, but without that, you lose a lot of the synergy. I don't think any of the Ewoks are going to do great outside of their faction. But they're starting to building that. They're building them that way on purpose. And
now, how many sages do they have all together now? Of course, we don't know much about Wicket.
Yeah, we got the one for Wicket. We got Chirpa. We have Paplu. And Logrit, his shaman's insight is a Zeta. So, I mean, they could be another first order team, you know, requiring four Zetas.
That's what I'm looking at. A lot of assists, a lot of turn meter, a lot of buff game. It's
like
very similar to a first order.
I'm looking at Paplu right now, and I'm not all that thrilled with his health and protection. Both are below Night Sister Initiate. I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
Well, they're actually, I think, both higher than even Stormtrooper. I mean, he's kind of getting some love in the game right now, so...
Yeah, true.
Right, and the thing right here with Paplu is recovering 5% of health and protection for every status effect. So even if you're trying to stun him or you're trying to wear him down, he's still getting health, he's still getting protection for both. So if he picks up $3 or $4, he's just gained 15% health and protection. So that's roughly, you got 53,000 in health protection. It's going to get a nice little boost.
Now, the thing is with him is buff immunity renders him almost useless. Because he can't gain, you know, any of his abilities to gain taunts, stuff like that. Unless I'm reading it wrong.
No, from the mechanics that they have in place, a buff immunity and a daze or a shock would really cripple this team. But it's one of those things where you just have to be able to pick and choose. There won't be a ton of people. You're not going to see them in top of the arena.
No.
But they're fun. They have their place, and that's kind of the point. They'll be good for raids to a degree. I mean, some of the videos that I've seen already of people playing have had 15%. In the AAT credit, which is definitely, you know, nothing. Nobody would turn their nose up to it.
No, and I honestly think that they will have a combination. I don't know what that combination is yet. Well, they will be able to solo Rancor with all the turn meter, slowdown, all that stuff that they have on that team. I could see them being able to solo the Rancor pretty easily. Which isn't a huge deal nowadays, but, I mean...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Hypnotize from Logray and mixed with Tebow, you have two characters that can remove 100% turn meter, so that makes it pretty simple there. And then you throw a Jin in there, just for good measure, and you have three characters that remove 100% turn meter.
Yeah, and then you use Ewok's... Yeah, and Ewok Scout actually even removes turn meter.
There you go.
So, I mean, just there, you have a team full of murderous bears that remove turn meter and Jin. It's everything Coleman has dreamed of. So, we'll talk about the last Ewok, the last new Ewok, the one we know the least amount about next, and that would be Wicket. He's the one that does the most damage out of this team, which is not saying much. For this team, but he is the one who's your real damage dealer. He also does have another Zeta on his unique, but his unique benefits the whole group of Ewoks. So, what do you guys think of Wicket? Darth, we'll start with you.
Well, we mentioned this earlier. I think the animation they have for the Force Gambit is pretty awesome. But he has a decent kit. He does a good amount of damage. It'll be tough to really see because we haven't gotten any of the actual numbers yet, but I'll be curious to see what it is. They've shown them doing some pretty big damage, but you have to look a lot at who they're playing. You don't know what the mods are and the characters they're playing against, so it's tough to really tell. But I think no Ewok squad will be worth their salt without Wicket. It just won't work. There won't be enough damage to do anything. So that's why I think they're waiting for him. And we've heard it's going to be a legendary event with like a little bit of an extra twist.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely going to make you want to kind of either tough to spend to get him or make some effort to get the other Ewoks to get there, pick him up, because otherwise this Ewok faction is kind of dead in the water.
Fair enough. Coleman, what do you think of Wicket?
You know, he's got an interesting kid to him with a good inquisitive jab, being everyone pretty much gets a quick chance up for two turns, kind of like a Princess Leia.
Okay.
That can be very beneficial to that.
I'm just thinking, like, his ability, his basic... I mean... Could he work in a clone team instead of Princess Leia?
Oh, I don't think you'd want him in a clone team because he's only attacking once.
Oh, yeah, he is only attacking once.
And he only gives the critical chance up to other Ewoks, so...
I'm just trying to figure out a place for these guys at this point.
You're trying hard.
I'm trying, and I'm just not finding it. Maybe there's something in Phase 3 that we're not seeing. Could do something. I don't know.
I can't see Phase 3 working out too well for them. Only because of that rocket trooper's ability block.
Yeah. But they would have enough turn meter reduction to keep him. It's almost like a Tebow team. Like, because, yeah, you know, I run a Tebow team in Phase 3. I don't do crazy good damage, but at least I reduce the turn meter on that B2 fairly often.
That's
so
interesting.
So,
looking at the tactic, you'll definitely see where in Phase 3 it'll be very useful with Zeta.
Yeah.
The way it's supposed to be, all Ewok allies gain 4% health and 4% protection. With all the other B1 battle droids, including the B2, you have a chance to pretty much gain almost nearly half your health protection back if you're running low.
Yeah, that forced ambush could deal a lot of crits and a lot of health and protection up. So yeah, it wouldn't be bad, but the thing is that kind of grind of these characters worth it? And I just don't see it.
No, because I have my Phase 3 team already set up. Can do anywhere 50 to 100% of Phase 3. I'm not worried about it.
Well, Lottie frickin' da. I'm jealous. I can do about 1% to 2%.
You're getting there.
Yeah. And that's basically, you're running the 7-star Thrall. That's what is doing it for you.
The Thurpentine squad.
Oh, it's just Chirpentine. Okay, I thought you were running...
No, it's Thurpentine.
Oh, Thurpentine. Oh, Lord. All these names are getting real confusing. So...
Yeah, essentially that's going to be your Chief Chirpentine, Emperor Palpatine, Royal Guard, Sunback, and Thrawn.
Yeah, I'll have that in 6 months when Thrawn comes back. And the AAT is probably as redundant as the Rancor is.
Yeah, I don't even bother Rancor anymore.
Hey, I thank you for that, because then that means that I get higher up. So, so overall, guys, this Ewok rework, is it good, bad, indifferent? Darth, we'll start with you. How do you feel about the whole rework of the Ewoks?
I mean, I'm indifferent to the Ewoks. I think that they're fun. I'm glad that there's something that I personally don't have to farm to go after or feel like I have to change my strategies. But I know it's something that a lot of people wanted, and I think the people that really wanted it are probably happy with what they got. It looks like it's a fun team to run.
Okay, so will you be farming them at all, Darth?
Not likely. It just depends what we'll need Wicket for. I always worry about needing all of these legendary characters later on to have something to do with Luke. Because you know that's something that they're going to do. I got an inkling that we're going to have to need all these guys at some point.
Okay. So Coleman, I kind of know the answer, but will you be farming any of the Ewoks?
I'll be farming them just to acquire them. as a collector's sake.
But you won't be gearing them up, really.
I won't be doing much after that. With them.
Level 1, gear 1.
Your sacrificial lambs.
Pretty much just said, you know, I got my Tebow at gear 11, my Chief Chirpa at 9, my Elders at 11.
That's
but
cool.
Other than that, that's about where it ends.
I mean, I'm going to farm them to the point where I can do the Flash event bonus tiers. If I can do that, then I'm content. Other than that, I don't see myself.
Like last time, that bonus tier with the 3 Zetas.
Yeah, 3 Zetas, a Furnace, and a Stun Cuff. That's worth gearing up them up just for that. So, okay, so that is our Ewok talk. Let's get into a little bit of the new game mode that they're going to be bringing out, and that's Territory Battles. Yeah, Territory Battles. Now, you guys have some interesting theories about this. Darth, I'm going to start with you, because you were talking about this before the podcast started. What is your feeling or your inklings when it comes to the new game mode?
Well, there's obviously all sorts of different places we can start, but I like what they've shown so far. Like, they've communicated a decent amount out. Obviously, we were hoping for a little more information tonight and didn't get anything that I saw, at least. But I like that it's going to be player versus environment and not a guild versus guild yet. I think that that will be coming. That's going to be fun. But the player versus environment will definitely be something that we'll enjoy. I like that they've got it broken down. I don't know how I feel about everybody just getting the same rewards, but maybe that shows a little bit more to my political affiliation, but I think that because of the way they have that set up, it is going to cause some changes maybe within some of the guilds. I think it's going to be rewards based on how much damage the guild is able to actually put on the entire environment throughout a 24 or 48 hour period, or are you able to complete? And we saw that map that they put out, that picture that had 6 different, I guess, phases it looked like, and then you could choose different paths on it. So I think that the farther you get along that, the better your rewards are going to get, which we've been talking about rewards the last couple of days, and they keep saying they're awesome rewards, but we don't know anything more. So it'll be interesting to see what they put out. We know the environment's going to be involved. So they mentioned everything from the shield generator to the Hinox cannons. So we can see how ships maybe are going to react. And well, Holm and I have been talking about it before, was we might have situations where they have like the TIE fighter from the Phoenix Defense, where that is something that's in the environment to the side or behind and it's charging up or something. You know, if it's the ion count and it's charging up and it attacks you guys and applies a debuff, or if it's the shield generator, like it essentially is taunting and you have to destroy that, or they have to destroy it before you get attacked. So there's some cool things that they're going to do, and I think they're going to kind of take the game in a different direction.
Okay, now, you have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had feelings about the new gear. It not being gear 12, but more along the lines of, was it ship gear?
Yeah, so they have came out and said that there's, or at least what we've heard through some of our sources, is that they're not going to have a level cap increase. And without a level cap increase, they're not going to raise any gear levels, because you're going to have to raise your level in order to get to that next gear. So that leads us to believe, well, what awesome rewards are going to be better than what the dropping of the heroic AAT? And my thought goes to gear or hardware, essentially, for ships. They've been waiting to drop that. That might be something that they work into there, and then we can start building into that, which lays the groundwork for the next game mode, which would be to bring ship battles in and bring in a ship store that is maybe based off, or something that's based off the ship energy. And I think that might be the direction we're heading. But Coleman and I were talking about the energy that is going to be used for this battle. I'll let him kind of explain that a little bit, go over what our thoughts were on
it. Okay, yeah, Coleman, Darth said, you guys were talking about it. What are you thinking about it?
As far as the energy goes, like he was saying, is that it seems like what we were talking about last night, it was, say, every guild has your heavy hitters and your low hitters, your in-betweens. Depending on the squad levels and ranks and gears, your rarities or your characters, if you toss them in there, that's how much energy they're going to use. Like, let's say in phase one, you send in a high-powered squad that's going to wipe out maybe a quarter of your energy for that one round. Whereas if you toss in a lower-starred squad, you're going to spend maybe not even a fraction of the energy you can spend.
Okay.
And after that, just kind of, you've got to play out how much energy you have in order to make the path like high or low, depending on where everything is in the game. That's the energy you're going to spend.
Okay. Now, excuse me. Now, I was thinking for this, I know they say that the rewards are going to be shared across all levels. Like, rank 1 is going to have the same reward as rank 30. And forgive me if you guys have talked about this and I wasn't here, but how do you think they're going to differentiate, like, a level 10 from a level 85?
I don't think they will. And that was the screenshot that was essentially leaked several weeks ago, well, almost 6 weeks ago. It has what everyone assumed was energy that was up there. And I kind of have my own thoughts about it. Because we're seeing that you have to progress through these different stages. It's my thought that we are going to have to send in groups. And every time that you take out an opponent, you get energy for it. So it's kind of a reverse on us. Instead of spending energy, we're gaining energy. And then as we reach that threshold, we'll be able to unlock the next phase. And then we'll choose, do we go with the top part of the second phase or the lower part of that? Once we do that, we'll be able to go to one of the other two in the next phase. I think it might be something that has to do so much damage to move on, which will make it, instead of doing phases in that damage, it kind of keeps us all working together, and maybe some of the weaker guys with the weaker squads, including myself, will be going on some of the early ones to try to take out maybe some easier characters, and then you have some of the bigger squads coming in to help kind of push it over so we get that energy to move on.
Now, I mean, with that thought in mind, I would almost assume that they would have to introduce, unless they are requiring all guilds to use Discord, a better communication device for guilds to use. Because if they want this much coordination and this much teamwork, just that normal chat is not going to cut it. And that may just be me wishful thinking that they introduce something like that into the game. But if they want all of us to work together almost more so than in raids, they need to give us a better communication device. Whether it be being able to introduce a new chat system or individual, you know, messaging in between guildmates, stuff like that. It almost has to happen.
Well, I don't want to be holding your breath, because I don't see them doing that. And of course, I could be off base, but I do know that they have stated before that they think that guilds realigning in order to take on something new is actually healthy for the game. So what they had, what we saw for the heroic AAT, how everybody was kind of shedding part of their guild to move and coordinate a little bit better with some stronger players, they think that's healthy. So that leads me to believe that it's something where your rewards don't max, or you're going to get something that you really want to be able to progress quickly. I don't think they'll have this situation where, yeah, but we're going to go in and crush it the first time. Just because we're able to crush the heroic eight, they're going to make it something that you got to work for and really grind out, which is okay. Rebel Force is old, fine. But I can see them doing something that forces a little bit of a shakeup until we figure it out some more.
Okay, so now Coleman, a question for you regarding all this. Do you think this will replace the need for another raid? Like, I'll expand on that. So, like, a lot of people wanted, like, another raid, like, another AAT or another Rancor, but by introducing this, it's going to push back on another raid even more because they have this new game mode.
Oh, it'll definitely quiet some of the like people wanting raids, because this guy introduced to us a new currency, a new way to acquire certain characters. Like they've already come out and said Hosley, a Hawthorne, and I'm expecting even more characters to be in that shop that we haven't seen yet, or they haven't even told us about. Like, we'll probably see Hawthorne Soldier in there, of course, because he only has one hard move, and that's the Impossible Grind.
Do not compare Hoth Rebel Soldier. No, I was just saying, don't compare Hoth Rebel Soldier to First Order Stormtrooper. They're both equally bad.
I'm not saying that, but with this map, and like they said, as you click certain areas of the map, which is what I've been working on my Bible collection, is that when you click a certain tile, certain parts of your collection will light up.
Now, could this, crazily enough, actually get rid of raids altogether, and not like raids as we know it, but like they can introduce different planets one by one. Instead of introducing a new raid, they introduce Dathomir or Yavin, or you know what I mean, different planets like that where we can take this campaign to, and they'll introduce a new character related to that planet each time we go to it, instead of doing a new raid.
Right, I don't think they're gonna get rid of raids like the Hat Raid or the Rankle Raid. I think they're gonna come out with maybe one or two more. I can see that. But at the same time, I can see what you're doing too. They've already kind of hinted at it, is that the next one's gonna be like Dathomir or something else like that. But they are gonna come out with more environments and more situations to where it's like, okay, so I need these characters, so the people who've been collecting these Night Sister Initiate, Ewok Scout, are going to be able to go, oh, hey, cool, I have this character, I have this bunch I've been working on forever, I've been seeing the story for a rainy day, and they're really excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, of course you can see them maybe adding, I could see them adding the Battle of Endor. And that's, that would be the next step in maybe actually getting the Jedi loot that we've all been wanting. But I'm with Coleman on this. They still have the spot and animation for that in the guilds, where to me that looks like a ship raid, and I'm still thinking that when they get more ships, we might see ship raids come out, and then we'll have this new territory battle. So I think they got a lot of content to bring in over the next 6 to 9 months. So.
Yeah. Even for a raid possibility, though, is that they still have, when you open up the raid, you see the Rancor raid, the Hat raid. If you look to the right, there's at least one more spot they're going to make for at least one other raid. So we have a set of three.
Yeah. Yeah,
which
I just...
Interesting to me.
I just worry that if they go with another raid, I can just imagine the horror that officers and guild leaders have trying to coordinate three raids and territory battles in their guild and making sure everyone's doing their best. That is, if somebody offered an officer job to me right now, I'd be like, I don't know if I'd do that. Knowing what's coming ahead, like, that could just be pure and utter chaos. So, So, now I think that's all the news for the week. Did I miss anything? Do you guys think of anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't think you missed anything. I mean, we went over Ewoks. We've touched on the territory battles. Everybody's dying to get new information. They're obviously taking their sweet time, which I'm quite okay with. Like, everyone's always wanting to rush to get everything out. And kind of what you said just a second ago, was that everybody wants to have all this at once, but I think if we had all this content at the same time, it's all thrown at us, it'd be too much. But I kind of appreciate that they're taking their time, and, you know, once it starts to kind of cool down a little bit, we start to see people start to lose interest, they're able to drop something new and refresh the game and get interest back. So I think they've got a good strategy there.
Yeah. Coleman, you got any final thoughts?
Nothing from me. The viewers went over everything I could think of for the moment.
Okay, so I have one last question to ask you guys. Because I just want to know, what is the one character you're farming right now? The hardest. The one character you're farming the hardest right now. Darth, we'll start with you.
I don't really have one. I've got quite a few that I'm working on. I've got my energy split between, I'd say, Shore right now. I don't really have a lot of good tanks, but I am collecting Shore, Nihilus, Baze, Krennic at the same picks. They all get their three every day. I don't really refresh any there, but they all get the same three, and I'll buy them from time to time to show up in shipments. So.
Okay. Coleman, who are you farming right now?
It's kind of a three-way battle right now. Gar Saxon, Imperial Super Commando, and I'm trying to finish off Beers at the moment. Beers has kind of been that hard mode run for me. After I have First Order Stormtrooper, I just got him a 7-star a couple of weeks ago. So he's been my kind of slow grind lately.
Okay. I'm farming Baze. Spending all my crystals and all that fun stuff trying to get Baze up. He's just so, they're so annoying yet so good. So
I don't have any issues with them anymore. I used to, but
are you getting arrested over there? Are they coming for you? it happens. I have no problem with them when I face them on when I'm on offense, but on defense. Wait, let me think of this. If I'm saying this right, when I'm on offense, I don't have a problem with them. But defense-wise, they seem to hold better than most of my teams. Like my resistance team. But like, I'm comparing it to my resistance team that gets beat by everyone. Whereas my, you know, Trut and Baze team doesn't drop nearly as much as that. So, I'm enjoying it. But, yeah, that's who I'm grinding right now. So,
okay.
Other than that, I think that should be the end of the show. So, thank you all for joining us in our initial Star Wars Galaxy of Hero podcast with many more to come. If you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer, please email us at rebelforcealliancepodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on our Twitter page at @RFApodcast. As always, any iTunes reviews are much appreciated. And until next time, long live the Ewoks, those furry bundles of joy.
Murder Bears.